I have a riddle for you. What's the difference between the Seder night and the rabbi's drasha in shul? And the answer is not that one has people drinking alcohol in the middle, because there's drinking at the Seder also. And maybe you might think that the answer is that one has active efforts to keep people awake and one doesn't. But the answer that I'm looking for is that it's only one of them where we've ever found the sentiment that kol hamarbe lesaper hareza meshubach, that there is a maila, that there is an advantage to speaking at great length. And it's an unusual attitude in general. I mean, we find in Maseches Pesachim, of all places, in the beginning, the Gemara tells us that it's always appropriate to strive for a briefer language, not to go on at length. And the idea that we find this attitude by the Seder is an interesting one. And it seems to be the case that when it comes to halacha and hashkafa, we don't always find one attitude. Sometimes we are supposed to go on at length, we're supposed to talk a lot, and sometimes we're not supposed to talk so much. And Lashon Hara is an area where we find this as well. There are times when we are prohibited to say something and we're not supposed to speak. And there are times when we are obligated to speak and we have to say things. And sometimes at great length. And it's an unfortunate reality that when it comes to Lashon Hara, it's a phenomenon that's often noticed, that people often do the exact opposite of what they're supposed to do. Because very often people are very ready to share their opinions on all kinds of things and all kinds of people, unless it's important, unless it's a toelas. If it's going to make a difference of some significance, then we become very careful, we don't want to say anything, we don't want to interfere, and of course that's the opposite of the halacha. That there is a requirement to speak when it's l'toelas, and when it's not necessary or helpful, so that's when we're not supposed to speak. And within the area of Lashon Hara, this backwards reality is often the case, particularly when it comes to shiduchim. Tragically, it has been the case that many marriages have taken place that have been a mistake, that people enter into relationships and marriages with people who are abusive, or people who are wildly inappropriate for them, or disastrous for any number of reasons. And there were people who could have prevented this. There were people who knew that was the case, who knew about a history, who knew about a fact that was concealed, and had an obligation to speak up. The Torah tells us in the same pasuk as Lo Seilech Rachel B'Amecha, it also tells us Lo Samod Al Dam Re'echa, that we have to say something when it's important and relevant and factual and will make a difference. So very often in those cases, that's when people don't speak up. And yet, the inverse, unfortunately, is that very often when it's not in that category and it's not something that one is required to say, then people are very ready to share their opinions, and that's, again, the opposite of what it should be. This is especially seen in a new phenomenon that has come to be over the past few years, the different criteria that people look for in marriage partners, that people look for in the shidduch. It certainly changes over time, over cultures, throughout history. Sometimes people are looking for things that are more understandable in terms of our tradition, in terms of Tanakh, in terms of Chazal. Sometimes people are looking for things and emphasizing things and prioritizing things that are less justifiable based on our tradition. But now, the past few years, there is a new criterion that has become most important, takes a higher priority over just about anything else. And nowadays, if a suggestion for a shidduch is offered, so it's not necessarily the question of midos, or yerushamayim, or values, or hashkafa, or any of that, but the most important thing is a new factor, which, as far as I'm aware of, is not found in Shas, it's not found in Tanakh, is not found in the Chafetz Chaim. But this new criterion, we could call it, I guess, in Hebrew, Re'ias HaChaverim. The question is, do your friends see it? Doesn't matter so much how highly recommended this individual is. Doesn't matter so much it's a Yiras Shamayim or what kind of midos or what kind of values. But you have to ask your friends, or maybe your sister, or maybe your sister's friends, or maybe your sister's husband's friends, or somebody else. And if they see it, then okay, it's worth a try. But if they think the personalities are not going to connect, then, quote, it's not shaykh. And it's not worth even meeting once. It's not worth any effort because the friends have declared. So this inyan of ri'iyas ha'chaverim has become the most important factor over all other things. And that's really amazing because it's become a little more mature. And I'm a little older than probably most of the people in this room. I think it's safe to say that when you get a little more experience, so you'll see that you don't really know what you want when it comes to dating. That the attitude that you bring to the experience at the beginning eventually changes, you mature, you realize some of the complexities of life, some of the surprises, and the idea that you know exactly what you're looking for, that you can judge in advance what you're going to connect with in terms of personality, so that's a very big mistake. So if you don't know, the idea that your friends know, that they can tell you with an absolute authority what's going to work and what's not going to work, that's really a baffling idea. And I can also tell you from experience, from speaking to many, many people and knowing many people, and I have many friends who are in the field of psychological research, and I've asked them to conduct a survey because I think it would be of tremendous benefit to society, that they should interview all the happily married people they know, meaning people who don't regret marrying the people they married, people who are happy, and ask them how many of them, their friends never thought it was a good idea, their friends never saw it, they thought for sure it wasn't going to work, they didn't think it was going to work, they didn't want to go out a second time, and here they are, they're the happiest people in the world. So how many people would answer that? Haven't done the survey, but empirically, I guarantee you, it's more than half. More than half of all the happily married people, you can do your own surveys, will tell you no one would have put them together, no one would have thought it would have worked. So if that's the truth, and I really believe it is, it means that if you're looking for someone else to tell you whether to accept a suggestion or not, you'd have better chances of flipping a coin. And that probably would be a better idea to flip a coin rather than to ask your friends or your sister's friends whether this is something that has potential, whether this is worth even one try, because otherwise you're not really getting any possibility of a really insightful answer. And this is something I think we have to think about very carefully. And of course, as you understand, I'm talking here about mixing suggestions. If somebody has, let's say, two suggestions to consider, and one of the two suggestions his friends are enthusiastic about more than the other, okay, so then maybe it makes sense to first consider that one before the other one. Or if you happen to meet two eligible people and you think that they do have personalities that are likely to get along well and you want to do the big chesed of suggesting they meet each other, so that's fine, ma tovu ma noyim. But to apostle a shidduch, to say, no, I can tell you, looking into the future, that this cannot work, so that does tremendous damage, and it's very hard to see how that's compatible with halacha or with common sense. The Chafetz Chaim emphasizes that if somebody knows something serious about someone who's being considered for a relationship, something that most people would be very worried about, so then they're obligated to volunteer that information. But, he writes, if it's something that is not in that category, he has a few other categories, he gives examples, he gives details, but if it's something that you subjectively impose onto the situation, to volunteer that, says the Chafetz Chaim, that's not appropriate within the rubric of Hilchos Lashon Hara, and that's something that can do a lot of damage. I have a dear friend who works for this yeshiva, who's a very experienced and extremely capable rabbi, And he tells me very often, he suggests shidduch to people, and it's somebody who it's a young lady, is somebody who he knows, somebody who he knows the family, he knows from their childhood, he knows very well, and he'll make the suggestion, and the response will come, sounds wonderful, but my friends tell me it's not shaykh. And again, to see how that really is a wise plan, considering again, you're talking about somebody who's an experienced rabbi who knows what he's talking about, and who says, I think this is somebody of quality, this is somebody with midos, and somebody with yiras shamayim, and your reaction is, it's not even worth a shot, because it fails the riyas hachaveirim test. It's a very, very surprising decision, and that's something that we really have to think twice about. And this is a bilateral issue. It means that if you receive a suggestion, so then you shouldn't ask your friends, tell me, will we click? Do you see it? Is the personality a match? You shouldn't ask them because they can't really give you a meaningful answer, at least not l'chumra, at least not to possible the whole idea. And if you are asked the question, so then you really shouldn't answer. The halacha is that you have to provide honest answers to the questions that people ask you in this area. And very often, the most honest answer that you can give is, I don't know. Because you can't really know how people are going to connect. And this is a Gemara, right? The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Maseches Brachos that it's always kedai to train ourselves to say, I don't know, because there is a concern that otherwise you end up saying things that are false. And this is very much such an area to say you know things that you can't possibly know. That's an area where you end up saying things that are false and things that can be very damaging. And if somebody offers you the information, if you're considering a suggestion, and someone tells you, it's not shy, they don't see it, so you should ask them, did this come in a mared? Did this come in a chazon? Was it aspaklari hamiira? An aspaklari she'ena meira? Do they have a chazak of making the vuos that come true? And find out exactly just how much authority is behind this, because this isn't really something that anyone else can know. Again, if there are major issues, if a person is abusive, if there are values that are completely incompatible, so then that's a different story. But for someone to assess what kind of personality is they're going to click and are not going to click, nobody has the ability to do that short of actual nevuah, and this is something which has a major impact on people, has a major impact on relationships, and is very damaging. Also, I should probably say a word or two about the concept of attraction. It's true that it's important for a marriage that there be attraction between the two people. However, it's important to understand that that concept is highly subjective, highly variable from one person to the other, and changes, and is a composition of many different factors, including emotional factors. And this is not something that anyone else can tell you what to think. And the idea of bringing other people into this question, is this somebody you're going to be attracted to or not? First of all, it's not sanua. It's really not appropriate to get people who are not the primary players involved in that decision. And it's not wise. It's not something that's really going to correlate to how you're actually going to connect. And it can do a lot of damage. Just to give an example, not to harp on this example, but let's say, for example, there's a young lady who says that she needs somebody who's tall. She needs somebody taller. So whether or not it has to be that way, it's a separate question. But for someone else to say to her, oh, I would suggest this guy, but he's not tall enough for you. So then that plants in one's mind the idea, okay, apparently I'm supposed to be looking for somebody tall. Apparently that's a value when it isn't, and when that's not something that really is found in our tradition. And again, it has an impact on how people think. It has an impact on how people relate to each other. And that's very, very damaging. We know the Gemara tells us in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Kiddushin that it's not appropriate. It's possible, but it's not appropriate to get married through a shliach. to have somebody else go off and on your behalf choose somebody to marry for you and to perform the Kedusha. The Gemara says it's not a good idea because maybe you won't be happy with the choice and it will end up affecting the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. It's not a good idea. So here we have a picture of how the decision is supposed to be made, and it seems like nowadays it's the inverse, that maybe we should say people are obligated to get married through a Shliach because he's the one who has the right to decide whether you're going to be happy or not. It seems pretty clear that that's not what Chazal had in mind, that that's not the way we're meant to do things, and that's a very serious issue. This is something where, again, yes, there is a reality to the whole chemistry here, but to have anyone else make that decision on your behalf or even influence the decision or even weigh in on the decision is something which is not appropriate in a lot of ways, and it's something which simply isn't wise. It's something which has a very negative effect. It's also important to know that when you do ask people, and sometimes, again, it is necessary to ask relevant questions, that you have to know the person you're asking actually knows what they're talking about. In psychology, there's something called the availability bias, which is a tendency that we have to give more weight than is appropriate to the information that we have access to. So if you ask somebody, somebody lives in wherever in Jupiter, and you know one person from Jupiter, so you ask that person, what can you tell me about this girl? It doesn't mean that he's necessarily an actual authority on this person, just because they're the only person you have access to. And that's also important to understand, because this is also a stumbling block we sometimes find in Shidduchim. People assume that whoever is the one person they know who has some remote connection to who's being suggested, that that person is knowledgeable and authoritative. And that could also lead to a lot of mistakes and a lot of misimpressions. Or perhaps you'll ask your roommate or you'll ask your friend, and it's somebody who went out with this girl and wishes he could have gone out with her again. And maybe you're not going to get a pure, objective answer for that reason. Or maybe he's very happy he's not going out with her again. But either way, you're not necessarily going to get an objective response. And that's something which we have to understand. That's something which also has to play a role in these conversations to the extent that they take place. So the idea of Kol HaMarbe L'Saper, Hareza Meshubach, the idea that we have at the Seder that we're supposed to go on at length. And the Rambam brings this twice. The Rambam brings this regarding the general mitzvah of Haggadah, and he also brings this regarding the idea of Maschilin Bignus. There also, he says, it's kedai to go on at great length. And one could ask, why is that the case? So what's the point here of going on at great length, especially the idea of Maschilin Bignus? This we should go on, we should speak at many words, we should say many things. Why is that an idea? So it seems that the point is that the Seder night, we're talking about our past redemption, about our Geula, and we're anticipating our future Geula. And we look to the past Geula to give us confidence in Emunah that we can have a future Geula as well. But sometimes we think, okay, so yes, in the past, things turned around and things got better, but they're not as bad as things are now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did things in the past. He can't handle this situation. This situation is too much. So we're told to go on at great length and to say, look just how much we have been saved from, just how much has been a part of our Geula. And we should remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can handle anything, and that whatever we think our situation is now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can redeem us from that as well. So when we think about things being impossible, so the expression, it's not shayach. What does not shayach mean? So according to a very important reference book called Frumspeak, the first dictionary of Yeshivish, the word shayach means something being capable of being true or possible. So if one is saying this suggestion, it's not shayach, it's impossible, that even a Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot make these two people work out, cannot make these two personalities connect. I know with my nevuah, I know with my infinite chachma that it's impossible for these two people to get along. So we know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu split the sea, he did Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Gemara tells us that yes, Shidduchim are as hard as Kriyas Yamsuf, but
Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done it before. So our assumption that this is not Shaykh, because I can't see it, it's impossible, there's no way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't handle this. This notion of sometimes being marvelous aper reminds us that we don't know everything and that we're not necessarily capable of seeing all the possibilities. It's our job to address what we can address, what we know is true, what we know is important. And everything else, that's for the Ribbono Shel Olam, the same one who split the Red Sea, the same one who took us out of Egypt. He's capable of so much more than we can see, so much more than we can imagine. And that's very important for us to remind ourselves. The Sefer Emek HaLashon, which is a beautiful Sefer on Hilchos Lashon Hara, and he points out that the idea of Kol Amarba L'Saper, of speaking at length in the Seder night, is a tikkun for Lashon Hara, is something which is a corrective for all the things that we shouldn't have said. And perhaps that is indeed the case, that maybe if we can internalize these perspectives, if we can recognize this truth, so then maybe that will indeed correct all the things that we shouldn't have said. And then perhaps there will be something in common with our galus and with the speech, in that both of them will come to an end. Thank you very much.